Do you ever have those days where you wonder, how the hell did I make it this far, right? How am I still here? Like one day you are a high-powered, successful, high-performing adult, and the next minute, like you're putting your knickers on inside out and back to front, and you're like, what is going on here? Well, I'm not going to be talking to you today about putting my knickers on back to front, but this is going to be a bonus episode because I've cocked up with the podcast again. I'm going to share that, and I'm going to talk to you about my TV appearance in this bonus episode, and then we're going to get back to our 200 truths that, I mean, I promised you that we'd stick to, didn't I? And then I've already realised that we're there. But this is where we're at today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day you are listening. Hello and welcome to Burnoutology, the podcast with me, Kelly Swingler, the Burnoutologist and founder of the Burnout Academy. I'm on a mission, right, to imagine a world without burnout. My first burnout made me really seriously ill. My second burnout nearly killed me. And over the last decade, I have coached over 700 leaders through burnout. And over the last 12 months, I've coached 117, or trained rather, I never get this bit right, but I've trained 117 leaders in the Burnout Academy in how to be more burnout aware, right? Because I genuinely believe that when we know burnout, right, when we know what we're dealing with, when we can increase that awareness, then we can end burnout. And so this is Burnoutology, a few weeks later than planned. So let me talk to you a little bit about what happened. So I recorded a couple of episodes at the same time. And truth number three, growth talks, I recorded. I scheduled all the audio, got all of that ready to go. And then as I was editing the video to share on YouTube, I was like, what is this drivel? And I have never, in all of the years of podcasting, I've never re-recorded one. But I was like, I don't even understand what I am saying. And I kept looking at the edits. I'm like, it just makes absolutely no sense. So I unscheduled that one. And because I'd done a few at the time, I thought I was ready to go with it. I thought it was all good to go. And I've gone this morning to check, like to check the stats, right? How many people have been listening? What's the feedback? Only to find that Growth Talks I never recorded. And as a result of that, the fourth truth that I wanted to talk to you about, which is smile suffocation, I hadn't scheduled that one either because I was waiting for Growth Talks to go, and so it didn't miss it. So I've buggered up again, haven't I? I keep being like, right, we're going to be consistent. We're going to keep this going as it is, right? This is going to be amazing. I still keep messing up. I can assure all of you that the podcast, I know sometimes we say, right, how we do one thing is how we do everything. And so I have been wondering if this is how I am doing everything at the moment. I haven't really got the answer to that. What I do know is with all of this health stuff that's going on, yeah, I'm definitely dropping the ball with stuff. This isn't how I do business. This isn't how I do life. And I'm also just having to let some stuff go. And that feels a bit alien to me as well. So I am taking more rest time. I'm saying no to more stuff than I ever have done before. I am switching off. I am slowing down. And even that concept in itself feels a little bit alien. But again, I want to kind of share some of the reflections that have really come to light for me over the last couple of weeks. For those of you that are listening, and maybe you're listening to this, to think, is this somebody that we want to do business with? All of my mess ups and cock ups and everything else with this podcast and all the delays and all the stuff that I'm not doing, this is genuinely not how I run my business. I do have a very successful business. I genuinely do transform the lives and thinking of many people. But you might be listening to this thinking, how the hell does she do it? And today I'm having that thought myself, like, how are you still running a business if this is how it's all going at the moment? But there we are. So I'm Kelly Swingler, Burnoutology, as you can probably tell already, right, is uncut, unedited, unscripted. The only bits I have been editing are my videos to try and understand how the algorithms and views and all sorts, watch times and all sorts, run on YouTube. Today we're audio only, which is probably a good thing, based on the state of me and everything that's going on in the house. So, hello. This is a bonus episode. So, in addition to the little break that you've had, when I said we're going to consistently stick with this now, in addition to the little break, because I did decide to re-record an episode that clearly I never did. What's happened over the last couple of weeks? Well, last week I was on TV. I had been interviewed a few months ago now for a piece on medical misogyny. I had a GMB, Good Morning Britain, film crew and producer come to the house along with Vicky Patterson to interview me for a piece on medical misogyny. So Good Morning Britain interviewed three women from around the country. It was due to be four, and the fourth then couldn't make the filming. But they had interviewed us really to talk about what is going on with the state of women's health at the moment. And I know we have some men that tune in and listen to this podcast as well. The majority are still women. Everything that I talk about in all of the episodes, actually, I think is relevant for everybody. If you are, you know, if you are wondering what has this episode got to do with me, I just urge you to listen anyway, right? If you're thinking that health stuff doesn't, you know, not going to impact me, please listen anyway, because actually it is impacting all of us. So if you're new here, if you've not been around here, if you don't follow me on socials listen to the podcast regularly, you may not know that since last October, I was speaking to a friend a couple of weeks ago. This pain actually started. I spoke at her event on the 6th of September last year, and I was starting to have issues then. So although the constant pain started last October, these issues had been being raised from the 6th of September last year. We're almost at the end of July now. We're 10 months into this. I see my consultant, as I'm recording this for you today, I see my consultant again in 9 days. But since October, I've not had one pain-free day. I've had 24 really ridiculously heavy bleeds. I've had 2 days where, even despite changing towels and tampons every hour, I've had 2 days where I've like still soaked my clothes 3 times. I needed to get changed. I've had A&E admittances. I've been into A&E because of the blood loss and because of the pain, and morphine hasn't touched it. And I have been told by gynecology registrars, that yes, you do need an urgent hysterectomy, but we've already got 100 women on a wait list. I've been very thankful that I've been able to see another consultant who's put me on this chemical menopause to try and at least ease the pain. And this has stopped the bleeding. I think, according to my app this morning, I think I'm 69 days now without a bleed, and yet I'm still getting the ovulation pain. And I still haven't had a pain-free day. It's a lot less. I've still got pain every day. And the ovulation pain is ridiculous. This week, I should have been hosting Burnout 101. I've had to cancel that. I hate cancelling anything. But I've just not been able to function. My body's just not been there. So this medical piece was about that. It was about my misdiagnosis. So I started my really heavy periods at 10 years old. I was put on the pill at 12 to regulate this. At 32, I was diagnosed with endometriosis. I was given an ablation, endometrial ablation. I've been getting progressively worse for the last 12 years, and I've been literally begging doctors and consultants to pay attention to what I'm saying. And they do a few blood tests and so there's nothing wrong with you. But I just knew that I'd been getting worse and worse. And then literally just a couple of months ago, I had an MRI scan and it was confirmed that I have adenomyosis. My endometriosis, whilst there is still endometrial adhesions in what's called a pouch of Douglas. Didn't even know we had a pouch of Douglas in our body, but there you go. I've got endometrial adhesions there. I've got endometriosis that's coming up to my diaphragm, but actually the endometriosis isn't present around kind of any of my uterus, womb, any of that sort of stuff. But there is this adenomyosis. And seemingly the ablation that I was given in 2013 is something you do not do if adenomyosis is present. And that has seemingly made this adenomyosis worse. So whilst I've been telling everybody that I have been getting progressively worse from a health perspective over 12 years, this seems to be the reason why. And I see my consultant again in 9 days. He said I needed to go on this chemical menopause for at least 4 months just to see if that would work. And if at least that started to ease some of the symptoms, then he would go and do a full hysterectomy. So I'm hoping, I don't know, but I'm hoping with what has started to change with this, that I'll be given a hysterectomy very, very soon. But this medical piece was about that. What I wasn't expecting, and the news piece itself mostly was about Vicky, the videos that we had recorded and the interviews that we'd done, around kind of 30 to 40 minutes each for all three of us. All of those have been condensed into, I suppose, a 10-minute reel that's on YouTube. I'll share the link for that. I'll share the link for that along with this podcast. So if you want to have a watch, you can do. The news piece that went live on the Tuesday morning was mainly Vicky in the studio being interviewed about the things that were happening, with very, very small clips from the interviews that we'd done. Even just from sharing those small clips, hundreds of comments that I got from women saying, this was also my experience, this is what I have experienced, this is what I've been going through. Hundreds. I still have not got round to responding to every single message that I got from somebody else sharing their story. And some of these stories are just absolutely heartbreaking. In addition to the women sharing their stories, I was getting questions and comments from husbands, from dads, from partners, from children. You know, thanks very much for raising this. How can I help my daughter? How can I help my niece? How can I help my next door neighbour? How can I help my team member? How can I help my partner? How can I be more understanding? And I don't have a lot of the answers to this stuff. I had lots of in the earlier comments that I was being able to keep up with in terms of responses, like people asking me for research papers and websites and recommendations for gynecologists and specialists and all of that stuff. And I couldn't provide a lot of the answers to that. I'm not an expert in this stuff. If I had an expert that I could say this is the person to go and speak to, I'm hoping I wouldn't be in the state that I'm in now. I'm hoping I wouldn't be living with this much pain. I'm hoping that I would have had these issues resolved already. And didn't have a lot of the research that people were asking for. But again, as they were asking, I didn't just want to say, like, I don't have the answers to that. So I don't know. And so, of course, I was then looking for research and answers and where to go. I can't do this. So that became all a bit overwhelming. But I also got to the point, I think on the Wednesday, I was exhausted from all of the messages. Tuesday had definitely kind of taken it out of me. But even on the Tuesday, right, I was supposed to be at an event on the Tuesday. And with this condition being as debilitating as it is at the moment, travel for me is key. Right? Some of the things that we just take for granted, right? Ordinarily, I'd just jump in the car, and I was due to be at an event in Birmingham. Ordinarily, I just jump in the car, or I'd be like, what time's the train, and just go and get on the train. Even planning for that day, I haven't got the energy at the moment to sit in the, you know, to drive myself in a car anywhere for 2 hours and then park and then walk to a venue. Just that's for me at the moment is just impossible. So I thought I'd get a train. Train was like £13 or something, like bargain, absolute bargain. Like that would have been cheaper than the parking anyway. And then the train company took all of the reservations off their seats and they had disbanded their first class. As I contacted them to say, I'm going to need a guaranteed seat. I have a health condition, I'm going to need to get a guaranteed seat. And the train company just came back to say, it's first come, first serve, just get to the platform early. That wasn't good enough. So, of course, then that for me raises additional issues. So I've done a complaint, I've done a post. If we want travel to be accessible, if we want more people to be using public transport, then we need to ensure that public transport is accessible. For me at the moment, this that I'm living with, it's an invisible health condition. Even when I end up at A&E, and the times where I've walked into A&E, the doctors have said, we're going to send you an ambulance. Ambulance control then ring to say, it's going to take us 50 minutes. Can someone get you here sooner? So my partner drives me to A&E. Because I walk into A&E, I get told, well, clearly you're not that bad because you managed to walk in through the door. Like, I'm not, like, what, did you want me to crawl? Like, I'm not really sure. I know I don't look ill. And a lot of us live with invisible conditions. But when we then find ourselves in situations that are inaccessible, of course, that then causes us issues anyway. So last Tuesday for me, I wasn't at this event because I couldn't trust the travel. There was no way I could have just got on a train and risked not having a seat. And then have gone through an entire day, which I know would have already taken a lot out of me anyway. So stayed dealing with all of these comments all day, sharing links, sharing articles, sharing everything that I can, wanting to help as many people as possible. Ultimately, that's why I wanted to do this news piece, right? Was to share information, get more information out there, get more people talking, try to advocate and champion the fact that this is why we need more change. Wednesday exhausted, but I thought there's so much more to this. So then I did a live to talk about even more of the stuff that hadn't been able to be shown or aired, wasn't included in the recording. And that, of course, then prompted more conversations and more information. And similarly with the stuff with burnout, our lived experience plays such a huge part in everything that we do. Our lived experience is key. Our lived experience is really, really important. And yet, as I said, I'm not an expert in this stuff. I hadn't even heard of adenomyosis until I saw it on an Instagram feed before Christmas. And then when I'd gone for a biopsy on the 30th of December, and the registrar is saying to me this thing called adenomyosis, I'm like, oh, I saw that on an Instagram feed a couple of weeks ago, right? And then they're like, in December, I was told you definitely don't have it. And then this MRI has confirmed, actually, that this is exactly what you have. This is what's causing you the problems. But even that, and lots of people don't understand it. I've had comments from women who have gone to speak to nurses, and they've mentioned endometriosis and adenomyosis. The nurses have said, never heard of adenomyosis. What's that? So we definitely need more funding. We need more support. We need more information. Advocating in itself, championing this stuff in itself can be really exhausting. And for those of us that are living with the consequences of this, we're living with the fatigue and the pain and the issues and the challenges. And it's like we're having to fight doctors and nurses and medical professionals. And then we've got to start battling and arguing with train companies. Like, I just need a bloody seat, right? Help make this a little bit easier for me. And we've got A&E nurses that are like, well, you don't look that ill. Like, we've just got to keep the conversation going. So I'm going to share both of those links. But I suppose that in itself is taking up a lot of time. And this is why, really, I didn't even spot that the podcast hadn't gone out last week. Because that's kind of where that's where my head was at. And then kind of came a slump. So then was the kind of, oh, like, I'm so ridiculous. Like, couldn't even get on a train. Couldn't go to an event. Couldn't do this. Couldn't do that. I've had to cancel Burnout 101 this week. My bloody body's not working. And right. So then I can find myself getting into these slumps. And again, this is what chronic illness can do to us. This is where we can find ourselves if we get to a point of burnout. All of this stuff starts to become too much. And we can start to hate on ourselves and tell ourselves how ridiculous we are and what failures we are, right? Can't even do this, can't even do that, like, can't even schedule a bloody podcast, like, I'm just so useless. And we can find ourselves in that place. And then I was journaling, and I started to journal, I am so crap, couldn't even schedule a podcast, blah, 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 blah. And then it was like, but, like, let's put some perspective, right? So my little friendly angel pops up, right? Let's give it a bit of perspective, right? Yes, you've been dealing with this for 10 months, but also think about the other stuff that you've achieved, right? The fact that I've restarted this podcast, the fact that I have restyled, redesigned, reworded, republished, relaunched my new website. The fact that I have been able to deliver an incredible train the trainer in the Burnout Academy. The fact that I've been able to celebrate a year within the Burnout Academy. The fact that the Master Burnout Coach for the Burnout Academy is starting in September. The fact that I have continued to deliver the monthly masterclasses for the Burnout Academy alumni. I've not been on stages this year, but I have still been able to do virtual talks, and I've done countless podcast interviews. The fact that I had Good Morning Britain crew in my house, allowing me a platform to be able to be talking about what we need to be doing for women's health. The fact that in March this year, I was able to share a stage with Dame Kelly Holmes talking about burnout and health conditions and what we need to do to advocate for ourselves. The fact that I'm still able to champion this stuff, all of that stuff. And then in addition to that, I'd also looked at my money because I was like, oh, clearly, you know, I can't even earn any bloody money this year. I've been able to deliver this year is stuff for the Burnout Academy. I've done 3 workshops for like a partner that's doing some work for a global client. They've asked me to do 3 workshops for them. I've been paid for a couple, for the talks that I've done, which again, haven't been a lot this year. And I've still, in 7 months, if I do it from kind of January to now, in 7 months, unedited, unscripted, that's the dog going. But in 7 months, I have earned not a huge amount less than I did for the whole of last year as I was building and creating the Burnout Academy anyway. And I'm sharing this because, again, when we are at this point of burnout, or if for those of us that have got burnout and have maybe been living with chronic illnesses, chronic health conditions, overcoming all of that stuff, the negative side of us, the fact that it's like, oh my God, I'm so bloody useless because I couldn't even schedule a podcast. That's the bit that can start to become overwhelming, right? That's the part that can start to eat away at us. That's the part that can get louder. And yeah, even when that's happening, we're still amazing. The fact that we are just still here is amazing. The fact that we are able to get ourselves out of bed in the morning. Now, there have been many, many days over the last 10 months that I have not been able to get out of bed in the morning. And yet I'm still here. And I'm still fighting and I'm still going and I'm still championing and I'm still talking and I'm still rising and I'm still doing incredible stuff. Now, that incredible barometer, right? That's for us to say what that incredible looks like. And this isn't about comparison. And again, I think this is what we need to kind of draw away from. The 2 other women that were interviewed as part of this Good Morning Britain last week, like, I'm able to talk about my story in quite a matter-of-fact way, I suppose, right? The same, and I do that when I talk about my burnout as well. I think because I've lived with it, I've dealt with it, I've come through it. Yes, there is emotion. Of course, it's emotional. Again, over the last 10 months, I've had many, many days of I don't want to be here. I've had days of bawling my eyes out constantly. I've had fits of rage and anger and sadness and overwhelm. And it's been days just of utter, utter crap. And I'm still here. I think some of the days where I start to go on to a downer is where I begin to compare. And it's been crap, right? Absolute crap. And listening to the two other amazing women, Monica and Rachel, share their stories, actually, as awful as it's been for me, it's awful for them. I can't imagine, particularly for Monica, she's 27, right? She's completely housebound, has no job, has no really no friendships, no friends, is unable to work at all. Like, literally, like, life quality is just absolutely rock bottom. I'm not there. I'm not at that point. I have been hitting rock bottom over the last 10 months. I'm still here. I've got an amazing support network around me. I've got amazing support people around me. But again, we can go into that comparison zone, and it's not about comparison. When I say I've still done incredible stuff over the last 10 months, incredible for me, in spite of the fact and knowing what I've been dealing with on a daily basis. We are all incredible every single day, whatever we're doing, whatever we're thinking, wherever it is that we're going. And even on the lowest, crappiest days where we want to end it all, or we can't get out of bed, or it's tough, or burnout is taking hold of us and we just can't function, we just can't move, or when we're coming through the other side of burnout and we're like, I just don't know who I am anymore. I was once this successful person and now I'm just this mess in a heap on the floor and I've failed and I'm crap and this isn't, like, it's not that bad. Like, you do come through it. I don't necessarily know that I've got a huge amount of words of wisdom for you today. But again, I think it's important that we keep sharing. I want to keep sharing this perspective and my experience in a hope that it helps you to feel seen and to feel heard and to feel less alone, and maybe to prove, like, really none of us have got our shit together, right? We're all just doing the best that we can every single day. And sometimes even the stuff that we plan for brilliantly is still going to go tits up because the pain gets too much, the burnout takes hold, our head gets in the way. You know, we're having one of those days where we are putting knickers on inside out and back to front and we just think, like, who am I, right? Who is this person? I don't recognise this person. Whatever all of that looks like for you, the fact that you are still here is a win in itself. And that's, I suppose, what I want us to celebrate today. So today is, today's an apology for cocking up the podcast again. Hopefully this bonus episode explains a little bit why. And yeah, look, maybe this is my permission slip, right? To just say this is what we're doing. So there we go. That's bonus episode. I'm going to be back with you again for the next episode, which is all about growth talks, number 3 of the burnout truths. We've got 200 of these. I mean, I don't know how many apologies and bonus episodes you're going to get as a result. If we even make it to 200 in the first place, I might get bored or just completely forget to record them at any one point. But that's where we're at for today. Thank you very, very much for listening. If you do want to find out more about burnout, please do head to kellyswingler.com. You can get hold of the Burnout Aware Starter Kit on the website. If you go to the podcast page, you can also get your podcast companion, where you can, you know, record all of your notes in the as part of the 200 truths, not these rambling bonus episodes that I might be feeding in from time to time, but certainly the 200 truths you can get there. So head to the podcast page for your podcast companion. Your Burnout Aware Starter Kit you can get on the website. If we're not already connected on LinkedIn, give me a follow there. That's where I'm most active. And underneath or around, I don't know where it will share on your favourite podcast platform, but I will also share the links to the Good Morning Britain YouTube video, the kind of 10-minute segment for the three of us talking about our experiences with our health. And I will also share the link to the LinkedIn and YouTube live that I did the following day to talk about some of the stuff that wasn't covered in that news piece. So for today, I'm going to say thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for joining me. I will be back with you normal time, normal day, as we resume the next of our 200 truths to help you coach, lead, and live burnout differently. I'll see you again for now. Take care. Bye-bye.